Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Accepting the Love of God. Jesus came to bring salvation to mankind, but he is also the healer of our bodies, and he showed this by casting out demons, raising the dead, making the blind to see, and causing the lame to walk. Healing did not originate with Jesus when he came to the earth as the Messiah, but dates back to the time of Adam and Eve, because sickness was part of the curse that came through their rebellion. God has made healing available through prayer because of his great love for the human race. So why not use this gift from God? This message is entitled, Jesus the Healer. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on March 4th, 2012. And I would like to start the service here now by simply have you stand, and we're going to pray and seek the Lord. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you tonight. Actually, not tonight, but this morning. That, Lord, you're going to open up the Word to us. You're going to show us in your Word what you want us to learn today. And I want to thank you for that. And Father God, this whole message is accepting the love of God. And I pray to be a breakthrough. Someone will have a breakthrough today. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start with a bonus scripture. If you have your Bibles, where do you turn me to? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to be talking to you today about that Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. That's what I'm going to talk to you about. And before we get into that, I want to read these verses here to you. That's Colossians chapter 1. If you read here from verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. To understand this message today, you've got to know this. That Jesus Christ is the creator. Jesus is the creator. It was Jesus that took the dust of the ground and made Adam. It was Jesus that took a rib out of Adam and made Eve. It was Jesus that came to Abraham and spoke to him. It was Jesus that came to Moses on the mountain and spoke to him. Jesus has always existed. He has no beginning, no end. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God in one, and yet they are triune, just like you and I are triune. If you turn to Genesis chapter 3, as we're talking about Jesus the healer today, where did sickness come from? Well, in Genesis, the third chapter, if you pick it up in verse number 16, we read this. Unto the woman, God said, this is actually Jesus said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, he shall rule over you. And unto Adam he said, because you have hearkened unto the voice of your wife, has eaten of the tree of which I command you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall he bring forth to you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face shall you eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it will you take, and for dust you are, and unto dust shall you return. Adam and Eve fell into sin. Jesus pronounced judgment upon them. The earth became cursed. They became cursed. And now suddenly, sickness was a scourge on the human race. And sickness is something that all of us battle from time to time. From a common cold to cancer, arthritis, diabetes, whatever it is. There is sickness in the land. If you turn up to Isaiah chapter number 53, God has made a provision. That's Isaiah chapter 53. And this was prophesied 700 years before Christ. That's 700 years before Christ. Who has believed the report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And this is the way that it was with Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. There was no beauty, there was no desire. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. 700 years before Christ, the prophet Isaiah stood in Jerusalem and prophesied these words. These were not his words, these were God put them in his mouth. And suddenly people begin to have hope. Yes, there is sickness. But God is a healer. He's a healer. Turn now to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. And this is a story that we read about in our Sunday schools and so on. But it's a story of a little girl from Israel. And this little girl from Israel had learned that there is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's a God of Israel. And God is a healer. And then she was taken captive, sold into slavery. And as she worked for this household in Damascus, let's read the story. Now Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Leprosy those days had no cure. You got leprosy, it was a death sentence, an early death sentence. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought any away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet of Samaria. for he would recover him of his leprosy. This little girl may be 16, 17 years old. She said, there is a prophet in Israel, and he does have the gift of healing. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus is a maid, this is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may recover him of his leprosy. He sent him to the wrong man. He sent him to the king. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man does send me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore consider, I pray, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. But look now in verse number 8. God was working. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore have you rent your clothes? Let him come not to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and cover the leper. Arnot, Abana, and Par, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He got angry. The prophet didn't even come out to say howdy to him. And his servant came near and spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then when he says to you, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. This is just one healing that I selected out of the Old Testament. But there were healings that God had prepared during this time. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 61. That's Isaiah chapter 61. And I want to pick it up here from verse number 1. This prophecy now came after Isaiah had the first prophecy of Jesus. And let's read these words. These are powerful words. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, I want you to understand this, that here is Isaiah now, and God suddenly speaking through him, saying, now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings. And he must have thought, you know, this is not for me. I'm not the one that's going to bring this. God, 700 years before Christ, had this written down, this prophecy. Because one day, if you turn over with me to Luke chapter 4, that's the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. the Messiah came. And you see, the Messiah, Jesus, went in to a synagogue. And in the synagogue, there was a scroll that Isaiah had written down 700 years prior. God had prepared it. And Jesus walked in and said, "Give me that scroll." And he opened it up. And then he read this. Let's read here from verse number 14. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered to him the book or the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And now look in the next verse. "And he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Isn't that beautiful? 700 years later, Jesus comes and he simply say, "It is me. It is spoken on me. I am the one that am the healer." Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Now when Jesus healed people, he didn't ask them and said, "Okay, how much money do you have?" He didn't ask them, "You know what, I want some favors and stuff like this." I want you now to see Jesus, the man, Jesus, God. Jesus loves you. God loves you. And Jesus simply said this, "I am the healer. I am your healer." In Matthew 8, 1 through 4, we read this. "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped, saying, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be you clean.' And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." This man had a leprosy. He was an outcast. He had to live outside villages. He could not be with other people. And this man must have simply felt, "You know, I'm unclean. I got leprosy. I'm not worthy of anything." But then he heard about Jesus. Each one of us, we have a dream. Each one of us, we have a desire. We are bruised. We are beaten. But then we hear about Jesus. And we begin to get hope. But this man talked to Jesus. He said, "If you will, you can make me whole." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will." There were probably thousands of people there. But he looked at this little man that had leprosy and said, "I will heal you." In Romans chapter 5, in Matthew chapter 5 here, same chapter, And when Jesus was entering the Capernaum, they came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. Centurion was a Roman officer. He was in charge of 100 men. And Roman military was hated at the time of Christ. Here came this military officer down that had the power to do whatever he wanted to. But he had a need. And he said this, Lord, my servant lies at home sick and of palsy, grievously tormented. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, you scum. I hate you, Roman officer. I don't like Romans. If you live in China, you got the communists there. But the communists can be saved. Whatever you are, you might be afflicted. Remember this, as long as there's life, there's hope. And this is what Jesus said, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man of authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Jesus, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them, the Father verily has sent to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I said to you, the man should come from the east and the west, shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. When the children of the kingdom should be cast into the outer darkness, there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Belief is something Jesus simply demands. Do you have faith in Jesus? In this chapter, Jesus is on a roll. Have you read now from verse number 14? And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of fever. That's his mother-in-law. Now she did not ask him and say, can you heal me, Jesus? Jesus walked in, saw this woman sick. He simply said, there's a need. And he simply touched her hand. And the fever left her. And she arose and ministered to them. You that are watching me right now, you might be lonely. But I want you to notice that Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, is in your room, in your car, whatever you might be, you're listening to me. And he's saying this, I want to touch you. I want to heal you. I want to save you. I want to deliver you from demons. I want to minister to you. But what holds Jesus back? You. He simply says, well, I'm not worthy. I sin too much. I'm not good enough. God doesn't love me. Those are the words that Satan is speaking to you. But that's not my Jesus. He simply touched anyone that came to him. Look at verse 16 now. When evening was come, they brought to him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word. And he healed all that were sick. Why? That he might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses. Again, I want to emphasize that there are many people that cannot receive love. And there's been times, and I want to stress it again and again here today, that I have tried to do something nice for a person. And the person says, well, I cannot receive that. I cannot get that. I can't handle that. And they said, well, can't you eat with us? Can I give you this car? Can I give you a ride? Can I do this? No, 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 you can't do that. Why? Because you just can't. Satan has a person that locked up. Unloving spirits. Guilt. Shame. Insecurity. And these spirits simply say this. You're no good. You cannot receive that. You have to suffer. That is from Satan, not from God. And you have to be able to receive in order for God to be able to heal you. Turn to Matthew 9:27. Matthew 9, verse number 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, You son of David, have mercy on us. Two blind guys. Must have had somebody leading them. They followed him. They cried, You son of David, have mercy on us. When he was coming to the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, Believe you that I'm able to do this. This is what Jesus is asking you today. Do you believe that I can do this to you? They said to him, Yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. I heard of a miracle that took place 35 years ago. Full gospel businessman meeting. And this man came to the meeting, and he had a glass eye. And he went forward to be healed. He had faith. Now, here's a strange thing. God could have simply taken a glass eye and taken it out and created a new eyeball. But you know what God did? God opened the glass eyes, and that man saw with a glass eye. He had faith, and it stirred a lot of people up. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, I want you to take your outline here and look at the very top. Today, we talk about Jesus the healer. But look at the title of the series, Accepting the Love of God. Accepting the Love of God. And now we read in verse 28. Believe you that I'm able to do this. They send him, Yea, Lord. Then touching their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. You want to be able to accept the love of God? Then have faith in Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe. I believe. I receive it. And you will have it. Turn quickly to the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. That's the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. As you heard in the testimony today about Linda Lang, she's a very sick woman, and she would have never written any books. She would have never led anyone to Christ. She would have never done anything unless Jesus had healed her. Jesus wants to heal you that are here today. You that are watching, he wants to heal you because he got a job for you. But he wants to heal you most of all because he loves you. And he doesn't want you to suffer anymore. In Luke 9, verse number 1, we read this. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then if you turn here to Luke 10, chapter 10, if you pick it up in verse number 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed unto 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And do we have a harvest? Verse 9. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. I want you to think about this. Every gift that we have here from Jesus, we have salvation, we have healing, casting out of demons, and so on. Everything except salvation. When you and I get saved, that is for eternity. But you realize, when we get to heaven, we don't need to be healed because no one can be sick there. We don't need to cast out demons in heaven because no one is going to be demon oppressed in heaven. No one is going to be blind in heaven. No one is going to have problems with our mind in heaven. We're going to be perfect. All these gifts are for here and now, not for later. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. That's Matthew chapter 28. Now Jesus heals with a mechanical arm, and he heals with his spiritual arms. He heals with both arms. And he's using foods. He's using herbs and things. I want to share something with you right now that I'm going to be very careful about sharing with you. But this is how God deals with things. I was going to do a radio program probably about maybe a month ago. I'm doing some on shortwave. And the guy was going to interview me, and I had been sick, and I simply felt I don't have the time. So I notified the guy and said, you know, I'm not going to be able to make the radio program because my wife is sick. God spoke to that man and said, I have a person in Alabama that I want John Terrell and Ina to know. So he called up on the phone, had a conference call, and this Dr. Walker talked to us, and I thought, that's nice. I did not know that Satan was going to attack my wife later on, and she began to shake very badly. And I called him up. I simply felt like to call the guy up and said, now, my wife is shaking very badly. What's going on? And he said, well, she has clogged arteries. Her brain is not getting the oxygen. And he said, it's serious. He said, I want you to go down and buy a liquid. Not to the pharmacy, not to the health food store. He said, I want you to go down to the feed store where they say hay and stuff for the animals. And you buy this bottle. And he said, not tomorrow. He says, now. I said, yes, sir. I jumped in the car, go down to the feed store, paid $7.99 or $8 for this bottle. Came home. He told me this. 6 ounces of apple juice, 1 ounce of this. He said, it doesn't taste good, doesn't smell good. Mix it up and just have a drink it. And we did. And I was sitting here like this, shaking, clogged. And she took it down, and she was able to drink it. And 5 minutes later, her hands suddenly got calm. 15 minutes later, the shaking was done, and God had healed her. The reason I'm telling you that story is this. God has a mechanical arms. He has created the earth, the food, the things that we need. He's also, when we have a need, to can just supernaturally heal. But regardless of where healing comes from, it comes from God. If I would have simply called an ambulance, we would run in. I would have the $500 ambulance bill. They would have put rat poison in, you know, blood thinner into her. They would have done CAT scans. They'd done all kind of different things. And before long, I would have had a $30,000 bill. I paid cash, $7.99, for a bottle of a substance that God created to dissolve blood clots. That's my Jesus. I didn't know the man in Alabama, but God knew. And God simply said, we're going to get you to know him. Someday we're going to have that man here to have some seminars. In Matthew 28:18, we read this. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now, Jesus said, you teach them whatever I taught you. Mark 16. Some of you might say, now, what was that stuff you bought? Talk to me afterwards. There's something called FDA. And you know, they simply say you can't practice medicine until they put you away in the clink. Matter of fact, on a bottle, it simply says this, not for human consumption. If you accidentally get it in you, you know, call a doctor. But you can use it on your horse. You can use it on your cat. You can use it on a dog, and it heals them very nicely. But a human being, oh, no, no, no. It's too cheap. Okay? Turn to Mark chapter 16 right now. That's Mark chapter 16. And you pick this up here in verse number 15. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I like the word shall. Not maybe. Not will. But the verb is shall. They shall take up serpents. That doesn't mean that you got to go handle snakes. But it means that if you eat something, drink something that is poisonous, you can simply say the name of Jesus, that shall not hurt me. It will just go right through and get flushed out. And it will. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And what? Jesus didn't say, you shall lay hands on the sick and they might recover. They shall recover. Remember what Jesus said, as you have believed, so be it to you. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. God confirmed the word. Quickly turn out to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We usually tell people attending our church here, have a heavy breakfast so that you can last through the service. John 14:11. Jesus said, believe me, I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, whereas believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now I want you to see verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And you says, well, I'm not killing anyone. I haven't robbed a bank. I haven't done this or that. I haven't committed adultery and so on. What about the commandment of healing the sick? Jesus said, heal the sick. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. When was the last time you were healing the sick? You were praying for them. Now, Book of Acts 3. The Book of Acts chapter 3. What happened after the resurrection? More good stuff. Acts chapter 3. If you pick it up here in verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up to get into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to get into the temple, asked in alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them to the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, let's put a squeeze on us here. Let's say that you're going down to Safeway or Raley's or some store here in California, wherever you live. And outside the store is a guy in a wheelchair, crippled up. Maybe he doesn't want to even have one leg. And the Holy Spirit tells you, go over to that person, take his hand, and raise him up. You know, the first feeling you will have is fear. Nothing is going to happen. I do this, I make a fool out of myself. So what do? We don't make fools out of ourselves, we do nothing. Here's now Peter and John. They see this man, he has walked in, he was born, 40 years old, totally crippled. And the Holy Spirit has been telling Peter, take his hand, raise him up, and he'll be healed. That took faith. God healed him. Now, Peter did not get there in one day. Peter had walked for 3.5 years with Jesus. Failed, succeeded, failed, succeeded. And it was a trial, as we had a prophet here today before the service, actually before my preaching, that when God is going to try your faith, if you have faith, he's going to test it so your faith gets higher and higher and higher. But the question is, do we trust Jesus? Do we trust him? Look in Acts 10:38. I like this verse. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost of a power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Do you know what Hebrews 13:8 says? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hello? He's the same. Now, before the service started here today, a lady walked up to me. Her name is Dolores. And my wife and I remember her very well. Now, the last time we met was about maybe 35 years ago. And on the outside, I don't look the same. But on the inside, I'm still the same. She does not look the same as she did when she was 20 years old. But on the inside, she's the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you want to know what Jesus is doing today, read what he did yesterday. Then you know what he will do today, and you know what he will do tomorrow. But you're going to have some faith. You're going to have some faith. And something says, I believe. Why did I start the service by telling you this? Jesus is the creator. Because I want you to get the eyes of Jesus in the manger. The little baby Jesus. I want you to see Jesus as the Son of God. As the divine God himself. And I have a question for you here at the end here. Why aren't all of God's people in the healing business? Is that a good question to ask? Would you have lunch today? Why don't you ask yourself this? Why am I not in the healing business? Why not? What's wrong with me? I could do this. All right, look at these points as we close. There are three ingredients that must be present for healing to take place. Number one, there must be a healer. His name is Jesus. He's everywhere. Number two, there got to be a sick person. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of sick people, right? Amen? I gave you five or six sick people in here today. You can practice on. Third, there must be a believer in Christ who will convey the healing to the sick person. As a Christian, are you in the healing business? If your answer is no, why not? God loves people. Jesus loves people. Should you also not love people? Let me ask you this stupid question at the end. Let's say that you want to go out here and take a spin here this afternoon, and you go up in a hill someplace. And you happen to get in on a road, there's no one there, and so on. And suddenly, you know, you have an accident, and you hit the tree, and you're laying there bleeding. And there's no one there. And you're laying there, you know, oh. Then you hear a car come up. Here's a person coming out. And the person, what happened? Had an accident, please help me. I can't help you. I'm not a doctor. But help me. I'm not even a nurse. But please help me. You see, I'm bleeding to death. But I can't help you. I haven't gone any training. You know what you would say laying there bleeding? Shut up. You're the best I got. Do something. Whatever. Anything is better than nothing. Right? You can at least wrap something around and stop the bleeding and do whatever it is. Do something. Get the picture. Here you are. Born again. Filled with the Holy Ghost. You know the word inside out. You've been in church for many, many years. And you meet a person that has a need, sick, maybe demonized, whatever it is. And Jesus said, pray for them. And you go, I'm not a pastor. I haven't been to seminary. I'm not a deacon. I don't know. Do something. It's better than nothing. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for these moments we had in the Word. And oh God, I wish I could fire people up, Lord. I wish I would have some kind of a solution that I could get them to drink here today. That would make them on fire, that they'd just run out of here screaming and hollering and healing and casting out demons and just tearing the town up for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't have that. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. speak to each person and saying, hey, you, I love you. You're mine. You're a child of the King. You can do all things with Christ to strengthen you. Father, I pray for those watching us right now. Lord, there are people who are not even saved. And Father God, I just pray right now, you that are not saved watching me right now, just cry out, oh God, forgive my sins. I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose on the third day. And I believe he took away my sins. Jesus, 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 come on in and save me. And Jesus will right now. If you are sick, cry out and say, Jesus, I'm hurting. I'm sick. Heal me. And he will. Call us, write us. Let us help you. You that are here, the altars are open. The elders will be here, the deaconess. And if you are here today and you say, I want to be anointed with oil. I want to rededicate my life. I'm sick. I have a need, whatever it is. Use the altars. The Holy Spirit is here. You come. In Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking his commandments. That's why he said we've all sinned and fallen short of his standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the fourth part in the series, Accepting the Love of God, and was entitled, Jesus the Healer. Sickness has been a scourge of the human race since the fall of Adam and Eve, and God's promise to send the Messiah also included mercy on the human race, by sending relief through His prophets for the sick and afflicted. Jesus brought salvation and performed many miracles when He came to the earth as the Messiah, and it was because of His great love for the human race that He healed everyone that came to Him. We are susceptible to sickness, and if there is healing available for us through Jesus, why not use this gift from God? Jesus hasn't changed and told us that healing was to be a part of the ministry until His second coming. As a Christian, are you in the healing business? Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1332. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today. And until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.